This is HPR episode 2162 entitled Review / Criticism of Kip's Git. Just Say No. It is hosted by Clacky and is about 21 minutes long. The summary is, in which I take an IRC rant to audio and look at what's really wrong with Git.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi, I'm Clacky, and this is an ambient recording on my way to work. I haven't recorded a podcast in over 1 year now, and I'm trying to reprioritize, do less surfing while walking and do more talking while walking. I've been hanging out on Ogcast Planet on Freenode lately, and that's been a great inspiration. I just made a rant this morning there about something someone else posted, and I figured, hey, if I'm going to write all this stuff on IRC, I better record an episode instead. So here we go. Someone posted a link to Richard Hipp, Git Just Say No. Richard Hipp is the creator of Fossil, which is another version control system, and while he was careful not to mention Fossil because he wanted to focus on Git, I'm probably going to mention it a bit because several of his criticisms against Git are of course based on his own experience with version control, which is based on his own version control system. So he made a top list of 10 enhancements that Git needs to do in order to become more useful to users. So I'm just gonna ramp these off pretty quickly, and then I will go into submodules and subtrees at the end, which was something that we also talked about on IRC this morning. And so let's just get started. Number one, show descendants of a check-in. So he was going into how to make it more useful. You could create a relational database on the side of Git, not replace the Git model, but create some auxiliary data that you can do lookups in, and that would allow you to, for example, see all commits made between certain dates, or see all descendants of a particular commit. So he wanted to see, okay, I made this commit which introduced this feature, and then what have people done with the code since then. So this happened, and then what correction have people made, or what branches have they forked off this particular commit. And he was showing an example that, hey, if I have this SQL model, I can actually find out what's the first ever commit to the Git repository itself. And it takes only 3 milliseconds. And if I do it using Git, it will take a whole second. And I'm thinking, so what's the problem? If you can take what is probably the oldest Git project, Git itself, it's possible that the Linux kernel got into Git earlier, I would have to check that, but certainly one of the two oldest Git projects is Git itself. It's over 10 years old, it has definitely seen a lot of activity, and even though the model is that you only know the latest commits directly, and they have to trace their parentage all the way back to find the first commit. It still takes just a second to do that. I don't think that's a big problem in usability. And he was talking about, oh, finding commits around a certain date. I do that all the time. I do git log, pretty format, one line, and then I put that into less, and I just grep for whatever date I'm looking for. So I don't think that's a valid criticism. And number two, simplified mental model, yes. The data format is quite simple, but the way it transfers into version control and the way the commands have been designed around the version control is definitely not optimal. So I would like to branch into a discussion of the Gitless project here, but I haven't looked at it, so that'll have to be another episode. There's lots of fodder for further episodes here. But I think it's pretty uncontroversial to say that Git's commands are inconsistent. There are many steps from work tree to published branch. There's the Git index, which almost no other version control system has. And I'm saying that as a negative thing. Even though Linus probably thinks it's a good thing, and I actually use it, but I can understand how it makes things complicated when you're trying to get the hang of this. And so you have your work tree, you have your Git index, you have your local branch, you have your local replica of the upstream branch, and then you have the actual upstream branch in a repo on another server. So, point two, definitely valid criticism, but he's not unique in making that criticism, and you could fix this without giving up Git. So I don't think it fits into the Git just say no sort of shelf. Number three, remember branch history. He says this is a big feature that people complain about a lot. I have never felt the need to know branch history. If it's code, it's code, and it's in there. If you do merges and you name your branches, you can see in the merge commit which branch it came from. I've been working a lot in Bazaar before, and it has branch naming, and you can see which branch commits came from, but I never felt that this was super valuable information. So I guess number three for some people, but I haven't seen it as a big issue. Number four is multiple checkouts from the same repo. I haven't checked when his presentation is from, but I use Git work tree at work and it works great. The only problem I have with Git work tree, people have been calling it a hack, but I think it came in over 2 years ago, and now it's definitely not a hack. It's rock solid. I use it, and the only problem I have is we have build scripts that depend on the Git on disk structure to handle dependencies and stuff like that, and they screw up when they see my unorthodox Git setup. But I would say that's a problem with our build scripts and not with Git work tree as a feature. And I'll get back to dependencies on disk formats at the end. Sliced checkouts and clones. So here he's talking about how in Subversion you can have the whole world in a Subversion repo, and you can choose to just observe part of the world. I want to check out this subdirectory and I want to work on that and do commits. And that's trivial to do in Subversion. Git has this feature now. I haven't tried to use it, but I know it's in there. I don't know if you can make it fetch just parts of trees, or if you still have to fetch complete commits. But it should be doable. If enough people want it, it's going to be fixed. So once again, I don't know when this video was made. Six, check out and commit against the remote repo. Yeah, sure. Like I said before, I've been working in Bazaar and it got this feature after being out there for a couple of years, that you could make a dependent checkout that didn't have a local repo. I guess that would simplify things for people, but I think for me, I've never felt that, oh, I wish I could add latency to every command. If you do a shallow clone, then you just download the latest commit, and then when you're working on that commit, you're looking around the tree, everything is local, you can commit to it, you can push it. I don't think being able to do it without even having one commit downloaded would add a lot of value. Apart from maybe the thing we mentioned in point one, that, sorry, point two, that there's a lot of steps from a remote branch to the local tree, and this would remove even one more step in the cases where you know that you're absolutely not going to go offline, you're on the local network with the server and so on. But I don't feel like it's a super big issue. Not worth saying that this is an enhancement that goes into Git, or otherwise you need to stay away from Git. And I have to admit, I was listening to this last night. I was lying down in bed, put on the headphones, turned on the YouTube video. So from this point on, I actually didn't pay attention. So I'm just going to do the points real quick. 7, a BusyBox version of Git. I'm guessing Git has a sprawling architecture with binaries all over the place. Maybe he wants it all to go into one binary. And I'm guessing that's what Fossil does. There's probably just one Fossil command. And this makes for really easy deployment and so on. But I don't know. Git is made out of Unix philosophy whole cloth. There's parts of Git written in C. There's parts of Git written in Perl. And it all just fits together through the shell model and pipelines and all that. I think it works pretty well. 8, all comms via HTTPS. Well, Git does have HTTP and HTTPS, and it's a good place to have interoperability with everything. But I think having an SSH interface, just like Subversion did before, or still does, but I don't use it. Being able to just SSH in, run the Git command there, that's a pretty good model, and it's something that many commands would actually benefit from having available. So it does have the HTTP interface, that works, but I don't see why it should have only that. The other way works really well too. And you still want to be able to handle local repositories, so you still have all that cloning and fetching between local repositories functionality available in Git. And then adding the SSH interface to be able to do that remotely, that's not really a biggie. 9, git all command. I'm just gonna skip that, I don't know what that's about. 10, git serve command. I understand that Fossil has a built-in HTTP server, and it's probably awesome. Git has git serve, and it sucks. So there's a lot of caveats there and do's and don'ts. And I would just say, yeah, okay, don't use Git serve because it sucks. Use GOGS. GOGS is easy to deploy and it has all kinds of neat features. So that's my quick review of this Git Just Say No video. If anyone else has seen the whole video and has more comments, I would be happy to hear them. And then finally, in IRC, we were talking about Git submodules and Git subtrees. We use Git submodules at work for internal dependencies. I have this Git repo here, and it depends on code that is in that Git repo over there. And it works, and basically if you want to have data in one place, refer to data in another place, there's basically two ways you can do it. You can do it by reference or you can do it by value. Git submodules does it by reference. There's a magic blob of type submodule that says this here is a reference to another Git repo with this commit. If you do it by value, that's Git subtree. It doesn't have any particular manifestation in the local repo. It's just a directory that you handle normally. You do commits to it and so on. But then the subtree tool allows you to treat that subdirectory as a sort of repo that you can clone into an actual repo. And you can do work in the subtree clone, and then you can merge that back into the big repo if you want to. So both ways probably work, and I can see situations where people will use them. But I think in probably all situations, it's better to not rely on your version control system for managing dependencies at all. Do proper packaging. Do binary deliveries with versioning. Have some kind of dependency manager. Pull things in, put them in some known place, and have your build script fetch things from there. Source code integration is a really bad idea. I've been using in my previous work ClearCase, and if people say that Git is not really a versioning system, it's a timeline and objects and trees storage system with a versioning system built on top, and ClearCase is a file version storage with commits bolted on top, and there's basically no one in a company that uses ClearCase that understands what it really does. When I started working at this place, I found a great guide to ClearCase for, I think it was for CVS users, and it explained what actually happens under the hood in ClearCase. And people who were doing work daily in ClearCase, they were using these ready-made commands and frameworks and stuff that had been produced locally in that company, and they had no idea what was going on under the hood. I asked people around, so why does it do this or why does it do that? And it quickly became clear that I was the only one in the department that had even tried to figure out what ClearCase actually does. So whenever I run into an issue with Git, like, wow, the Git repo is pretty well compressed, but I had to check it out to access these files. What if I could do a virtual file system on top of Git? Okay, no. Now I'm trying to do ClearCase in Git again. Don't go there. And with Git submodules, you're doing something that is pretty common in ClearCase. Or at least that's what we did in the place I was working. That you have your thing that you're working on, and then you have dependencies on other things, and then you have in ClearCase you have filters, so it's like show me according to some expression a version of this directory, and they have ClearCase includes checked into ClearCase. So you're checking out one part of ClearCase and it has defines of what other parts of ClearCase should look like if you're coming from this directory and you have a specific version. There's magical environment variables that tell the system where you're coming from, and you're actually working in a virtual file system. You could do this with Git and you would be wrong in doing so. So if you run into problems like, oh, I have to check out this big thing and I actually don't need it, it's all source code that is used by some other part of my repository, maybe you should just have a smaller repository and make the other thing compile and have some binary blob put somewhere outside the versioning system that your build system can take care of putting in there. Don't put too much into one repo. I know there's people who really like the one big repo thing, and I get where they're coming from too, and I'm not going to say that Google doesn't know what they're doing, but you really need to have good ways of working and good ways of handling these huge repositories if you're gonna have one big repo. And I think drawing boundaries between different products within your company or within whatever team you're working in can be a good way to enforce discipline and actually know what you're doing. The one drawback with dependency management and versioning of binary deliverables is it becomes difficult to do non-backward compatible changes. But then I'd say, okay, then stop doing non-backward compatible changes. I know sometimes you have to do them, but in many cases there are good ways to stay away from them. So that's all I have to say about Git for this time, and I hope I'll be recording again soon.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.